All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Movie Talks and Chill. We're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Patrick Wall.
And in this episode, we're going to talk about a couple things. We are in another episode going to have Brian, a.k.a. Big B, join us. That's planned today. He may randomly show up in the middle of this episode, so we don't know. So we won't stop it. We'll just keep it going. And then he's going to come on to talk about the film festival. Doug was supposed to join us. Unfortunately, he fell ill, so we wish him a healthy, speedy recovery.
Indeed.
Feel better, Doug. And he'll be joining us probably in a couple weeks, he said. So there's also a lot of updates to give.
Also, at the time of this recording, it is St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yep. And I want to give a quick shout-out, because even though it's going to be afterwards, and this isn't live, I mean, we're alive, but the show is live. speaking of St. Patty's Day, our friend Newfie Joe, or we call him Hockey Joe, but he goes by Newfie Joe when he does musician. So this is not a music podcast. However, he's been doing this for about a year or two now. He's actually getting gigs. He just does it as a fun little hobby on the side.
Fun little hobby. Didn't he get a 2-week tour of Ireland to go play music over there?
Yeah.
Fun little hobby.
Well, he
us to go do a tour of Ireland.
He went with them. He got invited to go with them, and then he did get to play with them a couple times, but he's doing really good. And there's a place called MacArthur's. It used to be Babaloo's, for those of you who know the St. Pete area, off 4th Street. I think it's like 94th. It's like as soon as you turn off Gandhi, basically, onto 4th Street heading south. It's right there. It used to be Babaloo's. They changed to MacArthur's, Irish pub. Really good food, but he plays there now. So he plays every Monday night between, I think it's 7 to 9. But he now always plays on St. Patty's Day. So he's there. As we're recording now, he's actually started playing from 10 to 2. So just wanted to give a shout out again. I know it's already going to be past, but good luck, Joe. He's actually pretty good. So,
I'm assuming you don't get to tour Ireland because of your guitar skills if you suck.
This is true.
They're horrible.
No. Actually, no, unless you do suck, because you got the groupies too. Yeah. Anyway.
So happy St. Patty's Day.
Fun little hobby.
Have fun, Joe.
Love you, Teresa. Don't fuck over our taxes. She's our accountant, his wife.
We like to keep everything very tight-knit around here, and that's not why we're promoting Joe. No, but he is very good. So even if you get to check this out.
I was almost wondering if we were about to get like a tax discount, but we've already paid her.
Yes.
So you're just doing this for free.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey. Well, I haven't filed mine yet, so she can still give me one. A little pro bono work.
No, but we do a lot of talking on the side about, you know, us doing the podcast. He really loves that. He gets all into talking about it just because he loves people doing what they enjoy doing, you know, as an art. I don't know if you can call us just talking.
We are content creators.
Yeah, we are content creators. Not yet influencers yet.
Yet.
Yet. Yet.
I'm going to start posting very melodramatic 14-year-old memes.
I'm not even going to put this up. I'm going to put this down.
notice I had it only halfway because I don't want to get sued.
And when I'm done being an influencer for today, I reach for my Alani. Please keep me going.
So, just wanted to say that again.
Yes, that was an audition. Contact me.
But we are going to be, in this episode, we reached out to a while back, just with the holidays and things busy and prepping for the festival and all this other stuff. We didn't get a chance to review, but we were reached out to review a movie. We actually got a few that we're going to be reviewing coming up. So people come across our show, so that's telling us that somebody likes us. They make movies independent, and they reached out to us, a few different people, but this one in particular we got a chance to watch. We watched the couple others, just in case those people are listening, but we wanted to make sure that we had you on the interview when we talked about the movie.
It's really more they just liked our position on the list.
Yeah.
69.
Which group we're going to reach out to? Oh, they seem fun.
Well, the one person said that we're going to have on... for the movie, it was Hanky Panky.
Yeah.
Hanky Panky, sorry. But we did watch that one, but that's the one we're going to talk about when we have them on an interview. But I remember we were doing an email chain with them. He got his PR or publicist person tied in, so that's who I've been communicating with more. But I reached out, and I normally say, how'd you hear about us? Just out of curiosity, so we know where our growth is happening or if it's someone we know that's recommended
us. I remember reading that email chain. It was another random-ass fucking episode, wasn't it?
No, it was Talk in the 70s.
It was
not a long one ago. That was maybe month and a half.
Yeah, but that director we spoke to last year.
Kimberly?
Kimberly. Yeah, her publicist found us by listening to the Robert De Niro episode.
Yeah.
Hey, okay.
If you like De Niro. If you don't like De Niro.
Like, I love that people are listening really to us, but
Jake's
I mean,
a cat here.
There are better episodes out there.
That's why you got to recommend, listen to them all. All 132 of them.
Each an hour long. Yep. So
some are a little longer.
Clear yeah. a two-week calendar.
Yes.
Yes. Just clear your month.
Yeah.
We're binge listening.
Yeah.
I binged Movie Talks and Chill last night, man. I'm still going.
God, I hate you guys. I'm hearing Tony and Patrick in my sleep. And then Gavin, when I wake up, it's terrible.
They're just going to hear our theme song, Paul's music, Paul the Rock, by the way. They're just going to hear that. It's called Swamp.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. No, make it stop.
Which also, since we're doing this right now, I do... Might as well do some shout-outs real quick. Mm. So, also, I just mentioned the music. So, I don't think we've ever really talked about it. It's at the end of the episode we announced who created it. But the music for our show, it's called Swamped. That's our intro and outro music, just for the listeners who didn't know that. And it was created by Paul LaRocque. So, Paul used to live in the area. And
moved over to St. Augustine, right?
Yeah, moved over to St. Augustine area.
But he's still here, like, every other month. I run into him all the time.
Yeah, I just saw him last month.
Yeah.
And, And so anyway, he was, when we were first getting ready to do the show, almost 3 whole years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was his wife, Joy. And he's like, he was talking about the podcast and we hadn't even done an episode yet. And he was just explaining to her what we're doing. And for some reason, she's like, hey, I told Paul you should use this song. So Paul was generous enough to let us use it, use it as our intro and outro music. And who knows, if they make a movie about us, maybe that song will be in there too.
Yeah.
I call Chris Pine.
Movie Talks and Chill, the movie. A movie about a movie about a movie podcast.
The greatest movie about a movie that was never made.
Yeah. So just a quick shout out, because we get a lot of compliments about that. We really do. And even Steve, Radio Steve, who is the guy who got us on WDBFradio.fm, WDBF.com. He tells me every time, he's like, every time, man, I hear that music, I just smile. He's like, I know you guys are coming on. And he likes listening to us for some reason.
Almost like we have a couple of hundred people who like to listen to us for some reason.
Because we break the monotony.
Yes. We're not your normal podcast.
And we'll go live to the phones. Oh, not, damn it. Every time.
I mean, we are the only three white guys in their late 30s, early 40s to have a podcast.
I'm like 1/17th Native American.
We've cornered that market, though. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we've cornered the market.
We got it. So yeah, just wanted to do those couple shout outs. Again, it's like I said, it's at the end of every episode, we tell you who it's from. But again, thank you, Paul. He may be coming down here possibly to come check out the film festival.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I talked to him about it. I said, let me know for sure. My buddy Rob has joined us before, him and his wife are coming down there.
Nice.
So I just wanted to promote it as much as possible and just kind of get it out there. So anyway, to this episode though, we mentioned, we were getting reached out to, but there was one movie a guy had reached out to us a while back. Again, apologies for the delay, but we got to watch it. It's called Rent-A-Man.
Yes.
He reached out and said,
it is on Tubi.
It's on Tubi. I actually also found, I think it's available on General Plex.
Oh, okay.
Like, not the internal server that
no,
I have.
It's not on. You can look it up and it'll tell you where it's available on there.
Okay.
But it's not on Plex.
Oh, it's okay. It's not on it.
Because when I pulled it up there, it said it was on there. It had the movie listing, but it had... it's not available on this device. See where it's available elsewhere.
Oh, okay.
So it's at Tubi, Google, and YouTube.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. So,
but I'm assuming you have to rent or pay for it.
I think Google and YouTube were like $4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tubi is free, but with ads. And they're not, Tubi's not that bad with ads. Like, I generally don't like streaming services when they have ads. Like, but I'm not paying for Tubi. It's free. But I think I had 3 ad spots in an hour and a half. Which weren't bad.
In an hour and a half.
And they're only like 30 seconds each. It's not like if you go to watch like Amazon Prime brought to you by like IMDb and then ad break, 5 minutes. I was like, no, I'm out.
Are you freaking kidding? Like, this is the reason I went to you over cable, because I didn't want ads.
Yeah. Yep. I pay you money.
Exactly.
So you don't need ad revenue.
I give you the money. I mean, that's how cable started out.
Yeah.
Cable started out as free. And then you paid for cable to have it, to have the programs without ads. And then they said, we're just going to make money and bring ads in anyway.
Well, then that's when, paid pay cable, like, and like the movie channels and stuff. That's kind of how you got to...
Then you had HBO,
Showtime, yeah. Cinemax.
Cinemax. Yeah. I mean, Cinemax.
What are you watching?
Nothing.
It's not that episode.
Definitely wasn't after 11. It's not that episode.
So, main character's name definitely wasn't Emmanuel.
But I just want to do this, too, also. So the people who reached out to us, it's from Mysterion Films. So that's the company that made the film, Rent-A-Man. So this is the email they sent to us. I know you guys didn't know this, but to the listeners, it's actually kind of a flattering email. It says, "Hello, you came highly recommended as a film connoisseur. And if there's anything positive that I may help you with in gratitude for your time and consideration, please let me know if you're interested. It would be a nice honor for me to have my psychological noir mystery film reviewed by you. The distributor is Film Hub, and I believe all the other criteria within the attachments. The film is playing on Tubi, gave us the link. Thank you for your insight and knowledge. It's greatly appreciated." So,
this is very nice.
Very loose on the knowledge part.
We're a little loose on the knowledge
taking some liberties there.
So it's from Mysterion Film. So, you know, they gave us the link, and, you know, you can just search it on Tubi and find it there. So let's kind of jump into it.
Okay.
So.
Well, I just want to say flat out the gate, like, I want that damn suit. I want the suit.
Okay. I think we're jumping the gun a little bit. First, the title sequence. That was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
Excellent shot of the city.
Yeah,
of Vegas and like the
well, that whole montage with like with the playing cards and the guns and everything. I thought that was really well done. Mm.
And I think I can't remember what the actual term is, but that fast motion. So like when you see it like
getting
dark and you see the lights in the city start coming on and everything. You know what I'm talking about, like the wide shot of Vegas as you're passing through.
The time lapse.
Time lapse. Yep. So those are pretty good. So overall, in my for me, I thought. From a cinematographer's point of view, the look of it was pretty good.
Yes, I did like the shooting. I just think
I thought there were some very unique camera angle choices in this.
Yeah, I'm not getting into the angles yet. I'm just talking about
when you compare
to the lighting, the contrast, like knowing that is huge. You know, you got to understand lighting as much as understand sound.
And I think they picked. I think they picked a real good spot with. You know, different kind of like texture and layouts for the background. One of them, it almost looked like it was I don't know if this was true or not, but it looked like it was like a cave writing on the side of, and like, you know.
Well, that's that was in a national park. I'd been to that one.
Okay.
That's about an hour outside of Vegas. I've been
there. Gotcha.
Excuse me.
But yeah, so when it comes to that, so like, you know, a lot of it's obviously outside. It's like desert.
Yeah, it's outside the
whole thing. But so trying to get that when you're trying to shoot a movie, and I do know this guy, I have shot outside before, it's, you know, sun's moving. We all know that's part of nature. So when you may have a perfect angle lighting shot at this hour by 1 p.m., if it's good at 11, it's going to be a little different at noon. It's going to be a little different at 1.
Yeah.
You have to start adjusting. So they did have continuity with that. You know, it didn't look the same, you know, when it was supposed to be that same daytime.
Well, I definitely
did
see, like, the progression of time.
Yeah.
Them in the sun and the shots and everything.
Yeah. But it worked well with the story they were telling.
Yeah.
With the time frame of the film. So, and, you know, cinematography is a big thing for me because that's one of the harder things. Obviously, audio is very difficult, as we all know.
Yes.
But, you know, audio, you can't, like, once it's screwed up, you got to redo it because you can only fix it so much.
Yeah.
But then that's that famous saying, we'll fix it in post. No.
Nope.
I mean, some people are very talented where they can fix things in post. But if you record bad, there's not much you can do to fix it. You can make it a little less bad, but not good.
There were definitely times during the movie when I was like, oh, they must have fixed the microphone because all the sound is coming in clearly. They may have swapped it out for another one or something like that. And then maybe just the way that the order that they were shooting the scenes, the very next scene, it went back to like, oh, I wonder what they did different the last time compared to this next time. So like you said, I think...
Where's key grip? We gotta get the key grip in here now!
I think they did have the unfortunate, we'll fix it in post kind of mentality a little bit.
On a couple times.
Yeah.
A couple of the instances.
Yeah, when they were in the building at the I think it's like 30 minutes in where they're actually talking inside of the...
Oh, that's 15 minutes in. They're in like the little ruins houses, yeah. Like the ancient... like
just hear the echo massively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about the 15, 16 minute mark.
Mm-hmm. But what I guess I was comparing is, so, you know, sound is very difficult, but, you know, when you shoot, like cinematography, if you don't have lighting properly, and it's obviously when it's outside, it's very difficult because you have, you know, outside elements and sun.
Yeah.
But even when you're shooting stuff inside, you've got to basically, you got to start at complete darkness. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. That's what we do even in here now. This isn't the best lighting setup in the world, but, you know, for us to have a clearer picture, because we were coming out dark in some of this when we first started doing video, you know, you've got to make sure that you start out with zero light, yeah, and then create light from
that's
there.
That's why we switched locations, because I was getting too much natural light.
Way too much.
Which is unfortunate because I'm a vampire. Like, I would put blackout shades on everything. And the fact that, like, I have all the blinds and curtains closed, and Tony's like, there's too much natural light coming here. It's like, so
that's why you don't like garlic.
You take that back, you whore.
We need more darkness. Yeah. But they did have, but that's where, and I'm not saying this one faulted. This one, I actually liked the lighting and the, like I said, the way it was shot.
Yeah, and I mean, I liked the area that it was shot in. I thought that area was really cool.
Yep. But the downside to what a lot of independent films do is, you know, now everything's digital as well, so it has a different look than old school film, which I like that gritty kind of look. But everything's going digital now, and if you watch some of these independent films, and this is a good thing, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, when they come out not looking that great, like it looks very, I guess the word would be amateurish. When those type films come out looking amateurish, there's a reason why. It's because you can make a great looking movie on your phone now, yeah, nowadays with technology.
Yeah, there was a whole Apple 10 commercial about a big director, yeah, making like a 30 second commercial using nothing but like three iPhones. Yeah,
that was Jon Favreau.
It was not Jon Favreau.
But there are,
I mean, it might have been.
There are some films that are done that if you look at it, you're watching it, you're like, it looks like it was done, you know, by a teenager in a classroom or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like a kid's playroom.
Like he had
or
a VHS and converted it to
yeah. So, but this did not do that. This actually was done very well cinematography wise. So I just kind of wanted to bring that out. But just also for those other people who want us to review the movies, and again, we are not, you know, professional filmmakers by any means.
Only because we haven't been paid yet.
Yeah.
You want to start giving us ad revenue or sponsorships and we start making money, then we're professional.
But we're not filmmakers.
Siskel and Ebert can suck it.
Yeah, you know, we can only talk so much onto what to do and what not to do, but this is opinion based. But I will say for those of you, you know, get some books, follow people around, you know, work on a set. If you want to make your first film, and even Mr. Tony Armour said it, you know, Tony Armour, who started the Sunscreen Film Festival.
Make that crappy movie.
He's like, he made one, his first movie, and it was not good. Mm. And he's like, but that's what you have to do. You, it's good to make that movie and try and get it out there. Because, hey, at least at the end of the day, you did something nobody else did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
I can't say that I've made a movie.
Yeah, so.
But this movie was clearly this director's, writer's first attempt at filmmaking.
Yep.
Which is not bad. Like, you always have to start somewhere.
Yep.
But every, like Tony just said, every industry professional will say your first one is not going to be a masterpiece. Yep.
So the best thing to do is really go out there and, you know, find somebody who does film, or find in the area. We're lucky enough where this area is becoming blown up for filmmaking.
I'm getting ads on my phone on Instagram. Like, do you want to become a movie, or do you want to join the movie industry? Yep. I'm like, whoa.
I'm just getting reels of just movie clips and TV shows.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I'm getting that too.
But you reach out, you look, I mean, everything, there's a billion bits of information online. You Google it, you can see, hey, if there's a film set, can you be an extra? Just even if afterwards you just want to meet and greet with people and check out how they do it. But if you're interested in making film, don't just read a book, although there's some great books out there, there's YouTube out there, but actually go on a set and watch somebody, ask somebody, reach out, because I guarantee you in an independent film industry, if you just ask, most time they will just say yes.
Yeah.
You know, this is a very friendly type industry. It's cutthroat when you get to like Hollywood and you're like got distribution, but the indie world is very friendly. So they just like, they're making it for almost nothing, or they're pulling their own money. They just want you to help out. You help them out, they help you out. Kind of like how we've developed this thing. So again, that's all I would recommend to anybody is get out there, watch and see how it's done. Ask the questions. Look how it looks after it's shot. Ask them if they can see, kind of the editing process. Watch how they light things. Ask questions. Ask them, why do they light it this way? Why do you put the mic here? What are you using? You know, can you use something else if I don't have the money for it? Ask those questions. Follow those people. Learn by watching and learn by doing and work with them. So anyway, that was just my recommendation. And I think it's a pretty good one. So.
Yeah, definitely.
So you had notes. I want to hear what you guys have to say about this here.
So like I said originally, there were some interesting and odd camera choices for direction, I would say, in this one. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of crash zooms onto either the characters' faces or their hands or the suit itself. Also, a lot of slow-mo. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So when I was watching this movie, I was asking, not only why is this movie doing crash zooms and slow-mo, but try to give context of, like, why does any movie do it? It's to build dramatic tension or an edit point, basically. So when you do a crash zoom, it turns the screen blank. You now have some place where you could edit, chop in, X out. Mm-hmm. It seems like those techniques that were being used in this film weren't for those purposes. It was just... If you guys thought differently, let me know. But it just seems like... The director, this was a cool effect that he'd seen in other movies, and he just wanted to do it a lot in this film. Mm-hmm. Which it kind of.
Hey, at least he did not add a lens flare.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. No lens flares, you go.
So that was the biggest thing I noticed a lot was those crash zooms and slow-mo pans. Like, I didn't understand the reason for them. Mm-hmm. They didn't feel like they added anything to the visual part of the storytelling. What about you guys?
For me, I think it was the story itself was just hard to follow. Like until the very ending with everything that they put in, like all the satire that they built on top of, I didn't really understand where the whole thing was going.
Yeah.
It all culminated at the very end. That's where the real mainstay of the action, came through, but it was hard for me to grasp like the flow of why these conversations were happening in this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say it was also hard to understand the client, the guy who hired Dylan the Rent-A-Man. Mm-hmm. Like I had to turn on. He had a very thick, like I think Spanish accent. Like that's the best guess I could come up with. It was a little hard to understand, so Google Chrome, they offer us a service. We can live caption this for you. I was like, yes, please. Like, I need assistance.
Do it now.
And then even Google was having trouble with some of the words this guy was saying. So having someone from a different ethnicity background is nowhere near a bad thing. But I would definitely... When you're working with someone who has that kind of a thick of an accent, I would probably work with them a little bit off camera to try and tone that down a little bit. Because it was like if you ever seen the movie Boondock Saints, their accents are very thick, and there are times I had to turn on those captions. So it's not just like you are the only person to make this mistake, but I mean, it was definitely difficult at times to hear what he
said. You don't like the Irish? You think we got a thick accent over there? It's St. Pie's Day. What's the fuck's wrong with you?
One that was Scottish.
Yeah. What about like Cockney?
Yeah, oh, God, yes.
That's
I'll tell you what, that's who I'm going to marry. I'm going to go to England and find a Cockney.
Yeah, but that's British hillbilly.
Exactly. That's my neck of the woods. I'm American hillbilly.
British hillbilly.
You're either going to fall in love immediately or kill each other.
Exactly.
Kevin's like, that's half the fun.
That's why we do what we do.
We're going to have one daughter named Cinnamon.
Yeah. Plus, she's British, so she doesn't have a gun. I've got 10.
Exactly, so. Yeah. Hello, hence.
So I would just say, like, if your main character is going to have an accent, which was nowhere near a bad thing, just try and work so it's either the language of the script plays into it so he's not having trouble pronouncing some words. Mm-hmm. Or work with him a little bit just to like tone it down a little bit. So that was a, I don't want to say it was a big thing, but it was something genuinely noticeable, I would say. Because a lot of the movie is about conversations about walking somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the client, I think his name is Jackie. they were walking and talking the entire time with unusual metaphors, and it's really hard to stay on track with the conversation because of his accent at times.
Yeah.
Well, for me, like, they didn't the writing was a little bit off, where they didn't really give him like anything extra to go on. It's like, you know, the whole time he's walking, it's you know, Dylan talking, and then the other guy just
Jackie. Dylan is the renter guy.
Right. Oh, excuse me. Jackie, you know, talking, and then Dylan just standing there. I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Sure.
Like, it didn't really, like, yeah, it was, I felt like, and I likened it to, I was like, I feel like this is Ruby Rod interviewing Corbin Dallas. Yeah.
Can you act like you got more than a tour in vocabulary?
It's like, we're going to Corbin for his word of the day. What do you think? I don't know. Okay.
Well, the thing I would wonder, and it's probably, we could probably reach out to him like after we, you know, posted, we, you know, did this review. Maybe he'll be willing to let us see like what the actual script was, or if there's notes. And maybe, again, you know, maybe that thicker accent, maybe that was intentional. Because if you remember, the reason why I say that is because if you remember in the movie Snatch, with it, there was a, what's his name's movie, but yeah, Guy Ritchie, and one of his, after he did Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. But Brad Pitt plays that like Cockney guy in there, and there's a scene where Jason Statham and the other guy, and he's saying something, and he looks at the other guy, he's like, did you understand a word he just said? But in a Jason Statham voice, you know, but I can't do Jason Statham. But
do you understand a word he just said?
And he's British.
Yeah.
So sometimes people do that on purpose. Now, it may not have been intentional, and again, it may have been like what you recommended, but you never know. Who knows? Yeah. But that's why I would like to kind of maybe reach back out to him and kind of say, hey, you know, here's what we talked about. Here's what we thought. Maybe you can come on with us and shed some light on, you know, maybe some of the choices and why. Because I think everybody, if you're going to go through, if you're going to go through the trouble of making a movie, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of time. It's a lot of dedication. A lot of hiccups can happen. If you're going to be willing to do that, you know, you want to make sure everybody understands what the vision is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It's because I don't think there's not. It's very rare that someone just says, you know, I'm making a movie. Maybe they're a trust fund kid, or they get a lot of money or whatever. Maybe they worked hard for it and said, I'm going to make a movie and just go out and do it. And it's bad, or could be good. Who knows? But I think in this case, my opinion of it would be, or my thought process, if I was that director, or if I'm the writer, and I'm looking back at it, if I'm trying to relate to that, I could think of a couple movies come to mind. There's Memento. There is The Sixth Sense. There is Seven. Multiple. There's a whole bunch of them, but and. Can you think of why I said those? Is there anything in common you guys can think of?
I mean, definitely with Seven. I mean, it kind of had that noir look of, and you know, just the hard conversations between two people going through the movie.
So it's similar, but what I was thinking is more twist endings, or and the whole movie being explained at the end.
Right.
So like you said, it was kind of like, it didn't make sense for you until the very end, and it kind of all came together.
I'm still a little lost on the ending, I'm not going to lie.
No, and that's fine, but I'm saying maybe that was the thought process of it. Like, maybe I'm going to go out and do this, you know, maybe keep everybody wondering and then go back.
Yeah, I got you.
Or even, like, Unbreakable. Mm-hmm. Like, when at the very end they do all the flashbacks of, like, you know, him setting up all the things breaking, and then he finally realized, okay, this is why all this is happening. Mm-hmm. So If I'm the director, I'm trying to write a movie like that, that's my thought process on it. Be like, oh, these movies did it, but I would recommend, though, if this is your first time out, just tell the story straight out. That would be my recommendation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always nice to have, like, a fun little plot twist at the end or something like that. But like Tony said, your first time out, you always want to swing for the stars, but you're looking to get on base your first time out, then you're not looking to hit like the grand slam homer first time at bat.
Why not?
Obviously,
you
want to aim for that, but be happy if you're on first.
Yep.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Let's not do that.
Third on second.
What's on third? Good old Laurel and Hardy.
Well, and that's what there's a lot of people that do that. They go into, okay, and I don't know if this is as first film or not. I'm not sure. So I can't say that.
I can't speak to that definitively either, but going to the film festival the past couple of years, seeing those indie films, and there's generally a style like this is somebody's first time out, or this person's been in the industry for a little bit. And this doesn't scream first movie, but there are definite signs that this may have been someone's first, you know, outing into the film, which is fine. Again,
yeah. Again, I want to get more information from them to kind of get the full scope of it, because again, they reached out and said, "Can you review this movie?"
Yeah.
So that they asked us, "That's what we're doing." But
my critique says this is someone's first time out.
Okay.
To me, and once again, we're a panel of three. Well, so if you do disagree,
and also like if the panning of the at the very end of everything that they put, like they tried to reference into the movie, that's kind of also where I felt like I got a little bit lost on it. Was there was so many references of that. I mean, they had the Robin Hood reference about, you know, the kids going in and earning $500,000 or being $500,000 in debt. That actually happened.
I did not know about this story. So when he started saying all those teenagers just getting on apps and day trading, I was like, do you know what teenagers are? Like back in my day, we just wanted alcohol. Well, no, I mean, we didn't do that. We did homework.
Well, he was a teenager. He was a college kid, though.
Yeah.
I think he was like 19, but yeah, he ended up, you know, running up a huge debt on Robinhood, trading on margin, and then when the debt came due, he killed himself.
Yep.
He's like, well, you can't get money from a dead man, and it turns out they will try.
Vigorously.
Yes.
But I will also say, too, to kind of to your point about going back to like, okay, it was kind of all, for you, it made sense at the end, or kind of came together. I know you said not really for you. The one thing I would say for me, and I think it's more on the writing end of it, is the pacing of it. I didn't fully see, for me completely, like a solid 1-2-3 act style.
Yeah.
So no.
That's a pretty traditional thing. So, you know, you have act one, for those of you who don't know. So act one you've got out there is basically, you know, your introduction, your setup, and you're going to have something that happens to this person, you know, to this character or characters that's going to create an arc. That's when your act two is the conflict and the arc. Okay, this happens, brings them down from here. They go up here and back down to here again. Mm. And then your third act is really
the big fight.
The end fight and conclusion, you know, or the resolution, as they like to say. I didn't really fully feel that here. I kind of felt like we were doing a lot of setup.
I could see
and
it.
And then a conclusion at the very end.
I could see it in the start. I mean, like where they tried to change. I kind of almost felt it like as they tried to change the settings.
Mm-hmm.
So like in the start, you know, when they're trying to figure each other out at the start, when they're going around the two abandoned buildings and they start walking off the path, then they get to that one path part where they reference that again, going back where they had like the big rock sliding down and it looked like it was going almost to where there would be a river there if it would rain. And then the third one is on that hillside or the top part where they finally have the shootout.
Yes, yeah.
So, I mean, I could see those maybe being what they were trying to accomplish with that. But outside of that, I mean, I agree, but the flow didn't feel, of the story didn't feel like that.
It kind of felt like it was like, we're beginning to set it up, we're going to continue to set it up, and then
Act two and three happened in 30 seconds at the end.
Yeah. Well, the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, at the end. Well, again, if that was your intention, that's perfectly fine. Yeah. Because you don't have to follow that specific rule. There have been many movies that don't follow that.
Many successful movies. Like one of your favorite movies, My Dinner with Andre, that is just one long conversation.
Yep.
It's act one until they pay the bill.
Yeah, there is no real conflict. I mean, I think the biggest conflict in that movie was when they start actually getting into the disagreements as to the one gentleman who had gone out and, you know, went all around the world and did all these adventures and then basically telling him this is how you have to live this your life. You've got to experience things. And then the other guy didn't really feel that way. He was content being at home doing his thing. And so I really don't think that you're right. There is basically just, it's a conversation.
Yeah. Another point I would bring up, and I think this director and writer, I think he did both in this film. Excuse me. He wanted to add like an artistic flair to his movie, because there are some things in the movie that are just don't make sense in my mind. Like I've tried to wrap my head around it as to why is this character doing this? Like, what is the point? And I think it was, he was just trying to envision something that was outside of the norm of normal filmmaking. Mm-hmm. The problem is when you try and do that, it is a big risk and sometimes it may not land. And I don't think his artistic choices landed very well for me in this movie. Like, for example, towards the end of the film, when you realize that the client is a hitman who needs to kill Dylan, he pulls out a gun. And then Dylan pulls out a blood orange, just holds it in his left hand. Why does he have a blood orange, and why did he pull it out at that moment?
Why wouldn't you have a blood orange? You don't keep blood oranges on you?
Not constantly, sorry.
You just walk around all day with a puck in your pocket?
Well, yeah. Well, this is going to make this an awkward conversation.
Yeah. Like, I was... Oh my God, if you'd have pulled that out, I would have left. I'd have left.
I pull out like a whole turkey and potatoes and gravy.
So I was really trying to figure out, I was waiting to see what had happened, but there was no real resolution to why he had that. And there's actually a moment after that, the client is just walking and talking, and then Dylan just holds it in his left hand and squeezes it, and then pulls out another one. Like, I'm not understanding what the blood oranges are for. Like, it was, once again, I think he was trying to be artistic, and this may be his version of symbolism or a metaphor or something. It did not land for me.
So, would you say it was kind of similar to, because think how unnecessary this is to compare it to, you know, a movie that was a massive hit and spawned two sequels, Ocean's 11, the Brad Pitt character, Rusty. In every scene he's in, he's eating something.
Yeah. Which,
do you now, in that opinion, do you think, like, because I asked myself, you notice it though, like, everybody, we all even just said it, everybody notices that later on. They're like, why is he eating something in every meal?
Every scene.
Or every scene. So it might have just been something like that, like, hey, you know, this is
he's walking with Matt Damon, eating freaking shrimp.
Yep.
He's waiting for Danny at the very end outside of the prison, just going through a sandwich, and he just doesn't even finish. He just throws half of it away. Ted Nugent called. He wants his seat back.
Well, I think that was a little bit more subtle because, like you said, people didn't realize it until they were talking with my friends. Like, oh, when Brad Pitt was eating shrimp, talking with Matt Damon, waiting for Julia Roberts. Or when Brad Pitt was over there, I remember he had that sandwich that he didn't finish. He was also in that scene with a candy bar. He was also in that scene with a roast... Was he always eating?
Yep.
This one...
But it makes you question.
Yeah.
Ask those questions. Maybe but, it's...
He did use the blood orange as a distraction to draw his weapon.
See, I thought he just faked a heart attack and just fell onto the ground.
Well, maybe that... And, but
also, if he had... Once again, this is a question that really didn't land with me. If he had a gun... And that the client was constantly just pacing, turning around, and talking. Why didn't he just draw that then when he had the opportunity instead of two pieces of fruit?
Maybe he was hungry first.
Well, he basically destroys one. He squeezes, and the other one just goes away. Like, once again,
erased from existence.
Once again,
you have just been erased.
This scene did not land with me. I wasn't fully understanding the purpose or the idea behind it. Mm. So, going back to what I was saying,
it insists on itself.
Yeah, what does that even mean? So going back, like, I'm pretty sure he wanted to be artistic and tell a story through his vision, which is great. That's what directors have to do. But he was taking very big chances on symbolism and metaphors.
Yeah.
Like, I understand some symbolism and I get metaphors, but those were all lost on me.
This is art. Get it?
I don't know art, and I know I don't like it.
You don't like art?
I don't know.
You ever been to Subway? You didn't make you a sandwich?
They are called
that's
sandwich.
Art.
Yeah,
that's
we live art, in Florida. Man. I go to Publix. What self-respecting Floridian goes to Subway?
Still art.
When they're in the Publix within 3 feet of that Subway.
Has anyone ever walked into Publix and said, I want that sub with no changes? No, never.
No, that's true. I constantly make edits on my app.
Most people just say, run it through the garden.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I actually take that crap off. If I'm getting a buffalo chicken tender sub, I don't want... lettuce and tomato. You give me my provolone.
So, real quick, because we're about three quarters of the way into the episode, a little bit more. But towards the end of the episode, I want to bring a couple other things outside of this. But before we wrap up the review of this, what ultimately, I kind of already know what yours is. If you could pick and say, hey, this is one thing that I thought was, I really liked about this film. I mean, I know we said there's a bunch of good stuff in there too, but what was the one thing that really stood out to you that you really liked? I think I know what yours is.
Yeah, I know Gavin's answer.
What? Yes, I want to know the name of the tailor.
Gavin was a really big fan of the client suit.
I was a giant fan of the client suit. It's like, hey, I want to wear that to my event this weekend. can you chip it up?
but if you could think of...
Really, I mean, I'm kind of with you on the on the lighting. And the I think a lot of the camera shots were good. Some of them did make me a little motion sick. But I mean, again, that's kind of like...
Well, so did the original, the first Hulk movie, too.
The Ang Lee one? No one gives a shit about that one.
Yeah, well, it made me sick.
The same way with like the Blair Witch Project, you know, with the Handycam, that's...
Hardcore Henry made me sick.
Yeah. Yes. That.
Yeah. I wanted to like that movie so much, but he was falling out of a helicopter, and I was like, I'm getting vertigo just for sitting in my living room.
I didn't drink today, but...
I don't think I should, because I feel like maybe have low blood pressure at this point.
I'm going to... but like and I think the shots of where they were really good.
Oh yeah, no, they were beautifully shot. I mean,
and the last thing was where? how did they just have a random body out there?
It's Vegas.
So that's another part that confused me, because at the end speech from the client, he's like, "I had to kill this guy too, but he just had a heart attack." Like, okay, so you hired him to go show him a dead body?
Yeah.
Like, it was clear once, like, oh, you're a hitman, and you're just going to bury those two together in a mask and mark grave. But what?
No, he set them up. Mm-hmm. He didn't, if you saw, he wiped off the fingerprints and then put them on the hand of the other guy out there.
Yeah.
So it was like a duel.
I mean, I understand what he did, but I don't understand why he also needed to die. It wasn't really, at least that I could understand, why the second, like, the hitman had to kill both of them.
Well, because that way he wouldn't be implicated.
Yeah.
Have you never watched any of the murder mystery shows on Netflix? Jeez.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. You gotta have a patsy.
First you kill the mark, then you kill the person who hired you. That way you can never be ratted out on.
See, that wasn't in Hubie's Halloween.
That's Hitman 101.
It wasn't in Hubie Halloween.
All right, Patrick, what about you? What was
my favorite part was the title sequence at the beginning. It was really well done, I believe, I think, and it set up a tone for a crime drama that this director-writer wanted to portray. I just think the direction that they took kind of fell flat on that after the title sequence.
Okay.
But I think the opening title sequence was, like, it reminded me a lot of, like, a James Bond opening sequence, especially, like, the Pierce Brosnan ones. Yeah. So I would have to say that was exceptionally well done. I genuinely enjoyed that.
I'd say for me, it was, you know, I mentioned, you know, talked about cinematography already, so I'm not going to re-say that again, even though I really enjoyed it. But ironically, I do like some of the stuff you kind of pointed out. It's kind of some of the stuff that I enjoy. It's like those random things, those things that make you question it, like the artistic choices, the blood orange, stuff like that. I like that kind of stuff because it does. If I was a writer and I'm doing it, I'm thinking, how can I just mess with their head? Like, I want people to be, because at least if they notice those things, that means they paid attention, and that means that they're going to ask me that question later. Hey, what were you thinking? And that gets them intrigued, and then I can start talking about it. So from a director or writer point of view, those kind of things I enjoy. I kind of dig them a little bit. But again, you know, the cinematography, I really like the way it was shot. Overall, I think it was a unique, creative movie. It was, because it's definitely something different. I haven't seen anything like that before, really.
Well, they took, like I said, you know, earlier, they took a lot of things that have actually happened and threw them in there. Like I didn't even know that there was an actual Rent-A-Man guy from was it China or Japan?
Might have been. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I can't remember which, but this guy would just. You could rent him out for a couple hours, and he would just hang out with you. Yeah. That was what he did. I was like, dude, how has someone else not thought of that?
it's not men. They're called gigolos. Well, and women are called escorts.
This guy just, he didn't do any of that. Like, he just, do you want to go on a walk today? Okay. Not all escorts. You want to sit there and yeah, but so they do have sex. This guy did not.
That's even implied in one of my notes. He just like, did you ever? And he just like nods fiercely and smiles. He's like, I don't know if they're talking about sex or drugs, but I'm creeped out right
now.
The
answer is always yes.
I will say,
if you don't know, you can't afford it.
Exactly.
Yeah. The, I was, yeah.
Never mind.
Next.
Back to Tony. No, but serious. So that's that's our review of Rent-A-Man. Guys, you know, again, this is just our opinions. Like I said, there was good. There was some stuff that could have used some tweaking or work or improvement. But overall, like I said, an interesting, unique, creative little film. I've never seen anything like before. So for those of you listening, you know, if you want to check it out, again, opinions only. So
again,
you know,
free on Tubi.
Free on Tubi. It's Mysterion Films. So, you know, check it out. Reach out to them if you guys want to. If you want to ask them questions directly, you can email us, and then we can send you their contact info or their email info.
To be fair, the first email I will have to read, so if you don't want it, you know, read out loud, make sure you're number two.
Yeah, number two, man. But yeah,
drop
so,
that deuce.
Just want to thank the guys at Mysterion Films for reaching out to us, you know, respecting our opinions and enjoying, you know, letting us be a part of what they've done and, you know, and screening their films, and to all the other people who have reached out we'll be talking to soon.
Also, thank you for, you know, having the guts to put that out there. You know, that's just being able to go forward with it. You know, that's, I have ideas and I'm sitting on them.
On camera with live microphones.
With live microphones, yes.
This is our movie.
This is our movie right here.
Horrible lighting.
Oh, and a horrible cast. Like, why, who put me in this thing?
Well, you're the blood orange.
Yeah.
You're the blood orange.
Am I about to be squeezed to death?
People wonder, why is he here? Like, it was not an artistic choice by any means.
And we don't squeeze you and throw you out either. Probably should. But anyway, moving on.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
If that's an artistic choice by me, then I'm a starving artist. I'm just kidding. But no, seriously, guys, thank you so much for letting us review the film. We still do have a little bit of time, but I just wanted to give a couple more updates on some other things. So again, Mysterion Films, Rent-A-Man, check it out on Tubi. And like I said, if you want their contact to get info with them or work with them on something, let us know. We can send you their email info, and you can reach out to them. And you know, heck, all about networking. Again, that's what this industry is all about. So thank you so much. Thank you, Mysterion Films. Thank you guys for listening. But in the last little wrap-up here, I do want to bring up, we mentioned it before, so for everybody who knows, next week, we will still have an episode, but next week we're going to see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Stop. Don't want to get sued.
He's got the timer. The lawsuit timer.
It's between 10 and 20 seconds. I err on the side of caution.
But we're super excited. We actually are going to do... The group's getting bigger now. So originally it was going to be us and Patty and Steve. But slowly things have grown. So maybe another Cocaine Bear type thing. With more Wiley Wallabies. The Australian licorice. The champagne licorice. Wiley Wallabies, everybody.
But
you would figure it would be us, you know, that it's got to make sense.
Yes.
It's not Austrian, it's Australian.
It's Australian.
But
Wiley Wallaby, right next to the didgeridoo.
But the weekend after that, we will be recording a review of that movie.
Yes, we are going to be reviewing that. And then we have, you know, a couple interviews coming up, like I said, about the other movies that we've...
Brian and Doug. We're trying to get Ben back on here, but that man's busy.
He'll be on the film festival.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? We'll chain him to the chair.
Yeah. Don't get out of here. We got to talk to Ben.
Get out of here.
We did learn Shane will... Well, Shane has very important family business. He just had a child, so he will not be attending the film festival this year. So I will not be being replaced.
Nope, not yet.
You two might.
I'm not going anywhere.
No, it's Doug coming to fill in for Jeff.
But I think we'll probably end up seeing Michael Robert Kessler out there. He asked me a couple times. We've texted and messengered each other about coming back on, and then things happen or something happens, and or he's out of town or you know,
I know
we got
he just wrapped
plan.
On a new movie. Because I'm seeing on Facebook, so I know he's been pretty busy the past couple of months.
Yep. So I'm super excited to see those guys again, and then hopefully we can have him on either
it's like
maybe before
family.
Or after. But we got a lot going on in between now and the film festival. So now we're in, this is the 17th, so this will air on the 20th. Mm-hmm. This will go out on the 20th.
Happy Wednesday, everyone.
Yeah. So we really only got about 30 days left, 29 days, something like that.
Yeah.
Because like it's that. Actually the 25th is when the film festival starts, the red carpet kickoff.
Yep.
We got a month and a week.
Yep. So, but we're going to be seeing Ghostbusters, reviewing mm-hmm. that movie. We got two other interviews to do. We're going to have Doug back on, and then we're going to hit it hard.
Yeah.
And then by then it's April, and in a couple more months, we're at our 3-year anniversary.
And then yep. I'm going to pass out.
Yep.
We may actually, with all the content we will be making before the film festival, we may actually have to, a week or two, release two episodes just so we get all of those done so we can focus on our film festival interviews.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, which there's going to be a lot of content, man. There's going to be a lot of stuff.
A lot.
But I am looking forward to Frozen Empire.
Oh, me too.
Yes.
Mainly because I have the entire weekend off for the first time in a year and a half. I have nothing to do on Saturday, and the only thing I'm doing on Sunday is watching a movie with my friends. I'm looking forward to this so much.
Are you going to show up sober?
No.
No.
Knew it.
Would you like to watch
a movie? On my trip to Idaho, I bought a flask. I will be bringing it with me.
And please don't order the Dune popcorn bucket to go see Ghostbusters 2. If I see you with that popcorn bucket, I swear to God.
You're going to have some.
I'm going to.
I will say, though, I bought this flask.
Why is there only butter in here, Patrick?
That's my soda.
Oh.
I poured a LaCroix in there.
Sure.
I will say, though, I bought the flask at like a vintage antique store. I was like, oh, this thing is pretty cool. And it says, you know, drink up, doctor's orders. I was like, oh, that's funny. I took a closer look. This thing is wrapped in vinyl. It's only as old as like 2005. Like, it's not the most antique thing in the world.
I mean, that's still, you know, almost 20 years.
Fuck off.
You know, math.
Yeah. Math, that thing? Is that what we're doing here?
That's the maths.
I was a sophomore in college or a junior. One of those two.
So real quick, we got a couple more minutes because I didn't want to talk too much more about the festival because we're going to have Brian join us here in a bit. So Brian Williams, a.k.a. Big B, will be joining us a bit. So, but we, you know, watched movies. We reviewed this one. I came across a movie that, well, first things first, I came across this documentary that's 5.5 hours long about basically history movies. Like, you know, going up and like all through the 80s and 90s and stuff. There was one I came across that I don't know why I never heard of it, but I didn't. And I watched it because it was available. It's actually on Plex.
Is it Earth Girls Are Easy?
No, it's called The Final Countdown. Not the song.
Yes.
But it's...
Please tell me that's in the movie, though.
No. Because it was...
Does Will Arnett break down the door?
No.
Oh.
No. He does not. He's not doing
that. Does
magic.
He throw a dead dove at
nothing,
someone?
Nothing about Arrested Development.
Throw a dead dove.
No, it's a movie back in like 80 or 81 or something. But it's got... I mean, it's got a lot of pretty big name people. And it's got Kirk Douglas. It's got Martin Sheen.
Okay.
I mean, there's multiple other people that you see him, you know him. But it's about this aircraft carrier... you know, fighter carrier in the Navy, and they're out seeing they're near Pearl Harbor. That's near Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, Palm Harbor.
Well, there's this weird event that happens that sends them through time back to 1941.
Oh.
And so the cool thing about the movie is it becomes a massive question of, we know what's going to happen. The technology we have, the planes that we have now, we can basically withstand a whole armada of the technology they had back then. He's like, do we get involved or do we let history run as it's supposed to? So it's basically a big thing about that. Mm-hmm. It's like this whole...
movie sounds dope as hell.
Existential thing. No, it's not like you don't see... It's time travel without really seeing time travel.
Right.
I mean, you see one squiggly swirl thing one time. Kind of looks like a portal from Howard the Duck or something.
Right.
You know, it's that old school, like, cheesy effect. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically the whole movie, though, is just about, like, hey, should
Tubi.
We do this? Yeah.
We fell into a...
But you can watch it on Plex without any commercials.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie does seem interesting, like, right up my alley. I do like time travel and sci-fi. And there is a big way of getting around like the intricacies of time travel. It's not really... it's like what Back to the Future did. They don't try and delve into why it works. It just does.
It works.
It's a flux capacitor.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you have to have a flux capacitor.
Yeah,
or a phone booth with a D-umbrella to umbrella, just a frame, umbrella frame.
1.21 gigawatts.
It's the power of a lightning bolt, apparently.
But we are coming up about to the end of the episode again. So, yeah, just a movie for you guys to check out if in your free time. It's actually, it's not bad. Old school 80s movie, but. And
can't go wrong with that half the time.
No. And you got a young Kirk Douglas and a young Martin Sheen. You can't beat it, dude.
After that, I'll just have to go watch the game.
Yep. But we are about out of time. Thank you guys so much for joining us, talking the review of Rentman. You know, giving you guys a little bit of insight. Again, happy belated St. Patrick's Day. Now that by the time it goes out, it already passed.
Happy St. Patrick's Day from us in the past, but you were in the future.
Yeah, speaking of time travel.
This is why we don't talk time travel.
Yes.
Don't worry, I'm wearing green underwear.
My name is Patrick. I don't have to wear green.
That's not a rule.
It is to me.
Definitely not a rule.
All right, guys. Until next time, for Movie Talks and Chill, we're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrano.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Patrick Wall.
All right, guys. Take care. Don't forget, guys, you can visit us at our website, movietalksandchill.com. Email us at talktous@movietalksandchill.com or find us on our YouTube channel.
You can also follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Movie Talks and Chill.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, coming soon to Apple Podcasts, CastBox, and Overcast.
New episodes available every Wednesday. Talk to you then. Theme music for our podcast was composed, arranged, and performed by Paul the Rock.